trust in you. Oh Lord Jehovah, you. Oh, I trust in you. I believe you. Lord, I trust in you. Oh Lord Jehovah, you. Oh, I trust in you. All together. I believe you are the God of miracles. You are the God of wonders. You are the God all powerful. Yes, Lord. We believe your promises, Lord. All to the top together. Jehovah you.
Jehovah you.
I trust.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the pain.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the pain.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye fear.
Bye-bye.
You are welcome here.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye sickness.
Hey.
You are welcome
Lord.
Here.
You are the God of miracles. You are.
Hallelujah.
You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. Faithful God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Aren't we glad that the Lord is here with us? The Word of God says, where the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful, Lord, O God, for the wonderful privilege that you've accorded us to come into your presence. We are assured that where you are, liberty is the result. And so, Lord, O God, we embrace tonight our freedom, our liberty, liberty from everything that wants to control and influence our lives negatively. But thank you, Lord, O God, that your power is so strong that as we heard this morning, a descent, the aroma, the fragrance of water. That tree that is dead comes back alive. So, Father, we thank you that no matter how bad things have been in our walk with you, that your everlasting presence, your loving kindness that doesn't quit, is reversing every misfortune to a fortune that causes us to celebrate with thanksgiving at all times. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to our time together this evening. The word of the Lord to us tonight is very, very specific and transformative. The word of God says to us that those who have a desire, a heart for God, who have the hope of God indwelling them, need to depart from evil. And tonight, I want to talk about that. Earlier today, maybe around 5, something like that, I decided to just rest my head for a quick moment. I was still very awake when my eyes were opened to see something. It looked like a bowl, but I could not see the edges of it, and it was boiling. It was boiling. It looked like the map of the world. And all of a sudden, things started to separate. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, oh, my God, what is about to hit the world? It looks like there's going to be this heat that's going to begin to separate separate continents, because things were just moving. I was shaken by it. And I said, Lord, what's about to happen? What am I seeing? And the Lord calmed me down. Because like I said, it looked like a map. What I was looking at and boiling and you know, it looks like the continents were separating, land masses were separating. And he said, calm down. I said, okay, but what was I seeing? What were you showing me? And he said, I'm showing you the process of purification, that things are going to get heated up so that certain things, impurities, can be separated. And I began to see again that vision, and I saw exactly what he was showing to me. Things were boiling, and the scum was what I was looking at. And things being separated. Now, the Word of God is very, very clear that we cannot continue in sin. If we do not understand what mercy and grace is, we can easily be misled. The mercy of God is what many times people are calling grace. The mercy of God is God causing us not to receive what we deserve. So you deserve punishment, but mercy extended causes you not to enjoy the punishment that you deserve. It is mercy from the Father extended to the Son. When the Father runs towards his son, the prodigal son, puts a cloak over his body, and as I said earlier today, he did not wait for him to have a bath. He just put the coat on him. Amen? He just put that coat on him. And when he put the coat on him, he covered the shame underneath. He put on shoes on him. He put on a ring in his hand. So when the neighbors saw the son, all they saw was a well-dressed man. They did not see what was underneath his clothing. That was mercy. But grace is what happens so that we live out the life that mercy covered. In other words, I deserve to be punished for this stuff, this sinful thing, but grace comes and gives me the power to live right. Do you understand? That's the difference. Mercy covers me. Grace empowers me. Mercy covers my past mistakes, my sinfulness, and all of that. Mercy comes and causes me dead in my trespasses and my sins. Mercy comes and covers the sin. But grace gives me an empowerment to live correctly. If you understand what I said, just wave at me. Praise the Lord. That's the difference. Grace is not go do that nonsense and keep on doing that nonsense. And while you keep on doing that foolish thing, living your life in sin, at the end, I'm going to say, you're okay, come in. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're thinking that's how it works, sorry, he's going to say to you, get away from me, I don't know you. Grace gives me the power to live right. And that right living is because of him working in me and through me. I don't become righteous in my own strength. I become righteous because God gives me the gift of righteousness. And now I need to begin to embrace that gift of righteousness to live out a righteous, upright life. Are we together so far? Praise God. So the Word of God says here in the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It says, look, intently, purposefully, and see the kind of love that the Father has bestowed, put upon us. What is this love? That we should be called, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. In the Gospel of John, the Word of God says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Gives you the power, the authority to become a son of God. But then it says, as many in Romans, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not becoming, they are the sons of God. God has called us sons. First of all, because we've believed in him, and secondly, because we are led by him. When you are led by the Spirit of God, meaning that you are obeying the word of God, you become that son of God. And more than becoming that son of God, you are now the son of God because you are led by him, led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God representing the word of God. You're obedient to the word of God. And because you're obedient to the word of God, following through with the word of God, you are a son of God. Not everybody who is in the church lifting up their hands is a son of God. Only those who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God tells us, mortify the deeds of the flesh. They kill the deeds of the flesh. They come against that thing that is contrary to the Word of God. And they say no to it. And they kill it. They starve it to death. You have to have murder on your mind. Murdering that thing that is not pleasing to God. How do you do it? By the grace of God, the empowerment of God, the word of God. You've been obedient to the word of God, knowing that you are not any longer under the influence of Satan and his cohorts, that you are not led by the decisions of men. No matter how many of them congregated together and said, this wrong thing is from now on is right, you say no to it. No. It does not mean that it won't cost you something. Yes, it will. I was at a gathering yesterday and sitting with new friends. It was at a wedding. The wedding started at 7 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. That's when, so we had to wake up at 3 o'clock, I was up because Mama had to go do her fancy stuff somewhere else by 5 o'clock. And then we get dressed. I actually got dressed and ready to go from there to the wedding. It was an Orthodox wedding and totally different from what we do here, but they are God's children. They just worship differently. And so we were there in the morning session, and everybody was given a staff, because you had to stand. When they're doing their chants and whatever else the priest was doing his thing, everybody was standing. And after a while, you understood why you were given a staff, because you need to prop yourself up. And you're up there for 30, 40 minutes standing. I say, oh God, when will this end? Then they give you a few minutes break, 3 minutes, and then they start again, and you... I said, this is a wedding, please save me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, it ended, we say, oh, sheesh. So we went to the banquet in the evening, beautiful banquet, and... You know, it's supposed to start at 6 o'clock, but anyway, hardly anybody was there, and it started maybe around 8 o'clock. You know, I'm really hungry. And so we're sitting down talking and chatting. You know, we had lots of time to talk. And the gentleman sitting by me and his girlfriend or fiance, whatever it was, started talking to me about COVID, and he worked with UPS, and he said, I didn't take the COVID shot. I said, you didn't? He said, no, I didn't take it. He said, I almost, because they were trying to make me by every means to take it. I said, wow. He said, I just at the point when I was about to take it, things changed, so I didn't take it. He said, but my girlfriend, yeah, it was a girlfriend. My girlfriend here refused to take it and lost her job. They fired her because she didn't take it. I said, wow. They weren't even Christians. I said, wow. Well, that was a pressure cooker time for so many people. So many people. And if you did take it, I'm not blaming you or saying anything, but it was a time when we were challenged, pressurized by the government. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And so many people caved and found every kind of reason why they should have caved. And if you didn't cave, well, you're the one killing everybody. Now we know the truth. We know the truth that thing wasn't doing nothing for anybody. People are still being contaminated, defiled. Even after you've taken it, you still got it. And they said, you won't get it. So you get a second shot and the third and the fourth and the 20th and the 100th. I don't know how many you have to take. Well, I give that example because life becomes tough. And I forewarned us at that time that this was just a test to see how people are going to cave under pressure. And you and I need to come to that place, child of God, where we don't just cave. We need to know what God is saying. What is God saying to me? How should I carry myself in this situation? Not only did individuals cave, we had churches that caved. Churches were promoting it, were getting paid to become centers. And God help you if you didn't cave. You are the one who's causing problems in all the world. And that's the kind of persecution that's going to come upon people in this last of the last days. People being pressurized to do what they know they shouldn't do. If you know in your heart, this is not what I'm supposed to do, then don't do it. Don't do it. Because life, as we know it, is going to be pressure cooker settings. Pressure from men. Pressure from governments. Pressure from legal systems to make you choose the wrong way. Everything in the world system is trying to cause you and I to compromise ourselves. When I first came to the West from Africa in 79. There were certain things that the church definitely knew was wrong. They knew certain things that's wrong. It is wrong to have this alternative lifestyle of homosexuality and whatever else. You know, we don't accept that. But today, we've got to go with the times. We've got to accept everybody. Well, yeah, of course we accept everybody, but I don't need to accept your sin. No. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. And every one of us need to come to God and say, God, purify my heart. Purify my heart. God, do something with my heart. I need something to change here. We knew smoking dope was wrong. We knew it. The government knew it. Everybody knew it. Until they decided, oh, there's money to be made. So right across, just on this main street, just start from, don't go south. Just start from here and start heading north. Forget about all the dope places, all the places you can buy dope just south of this point. Next door, just two blocks from here, there's got to be at least two dope selling places with good signs. Get good dope here. Cannabis. Oh, yeah. It's legalized. Before you know it, prostitution is going to be legalized. Sleep with anybody you want to. It's legal. And there's going to be a pastor that says, it's legal. My wife always isn't giving me some, so. Pressure. Systems. Just to make you falter. Say, Pastor, what are we getting at? I'm saying, you and I need to come to that place where we recognize that there is an issue and we need to decide what we're going to do. He says, because we call the sons of God, therefore, because we're called the sons of God, therefore, because we call the sons of God, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not tomorrow, now are we the sons of God. Now, this very moment, I am a son of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when we finally see Jesus face to face, we shall be like him. You'll find out when he shows up that you're exactly like him. A carbon copy of him, for we shall see him as he is. That is the key. When we see who Jesus is and recognize that this God who loved us with an everlasting love did not cave to the lies and the deceptive ways of the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord. He says we're going to be exactly like him. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has the hope of seeing himself just exactly like Jesus is, seeing himself and recognizing, I have him inside of me. I'm a son of the living God, and I'm a perfect reflection of the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, everyone that has this hope in him, purify it himself. You purify yourself. You cleanse yourself even as he is pure. The righteousness that God, or the holiness that God calls us to, is not defined by what the world says. The standard is not the standard of Canada or your culture or your friends, the government. God holds us to a higher standard. He says, your standard is be ye holy as I am. Oh, I'm just human. Excuse me? No. If you're just human, then you're not the sons of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of the Most High God. And you're called to a higher standard. Hallelujah. You're called to a higher standard. You're called to be pure. Praise the Lord. You're called to be holy. I didn't know that the Lord was leading me to, right there, 1 Peter 1, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So be holy. Be pure, because I'm pure. Be like me. And God knows that in your own strength, you cannot be like him. So he extends his mercy first to forgive us our sins, but then he gives us his grace by coming and living inside of us. And Paul will say to us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. The anointed one and his anointing lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm living the God life by his faith. God is the one living through me. It is not my ability, it is his ability at work in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we together? You can do it. I can do it. I can live the God life. So look at what the Word of God says. In verse 4, whosoever, just in case we've not gotten the message clear, in verse 4 of 1 John 3 says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. You're transgressing against the law. It says, for sin is a transgression of the law. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? Huh? We're not under law. We're under grace. Well, go talk to John. Don't be talking about it. He didn't understand what grace is. John didn't go to the Paul school. Oh, wait a minute. Paul is the one who says, hey, now that I'm running this race, I want to make sure I'm doing it right so that I don't become cast away. He said it. The same Paul that you're saying, he's the one who taught us about grace. He's saying, I better keep my life straight, because if I don't keep it straight, I can end up and God will say, get away from me, I don't know you. Huh? Paul, don't you know grace? Yes, I'm talking to you about grace. You just don't understand what grace is. Grace is God's ability working in you and through you. And the Word of God says to us right here, he says, if you have the hope that you're going to be like Jesus, then you got to purify yourself. Go through the distillation process. The Lord began to speak to me about distillation. He kept on talking to me about distillation. And I remembered, my chemistry class in high school, about the Bunsen burner.
And we'll put salt in the water and then start heating it up, and the steam rises. It rises and then it goes through a cooling system, and on the other side comes the distilled water. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that all that pressure that you're going through, pressure in your marriage, pressure in your finances, pressure at your workplace, pressure in your business, pressure, all of those things that you and I go through, all those pressure, there is a reason for it. So that you come to that place where the devil has nothing to hold on to. Because you have not quit. You've allowed yourself to go through all that pressure, all that heat. And on the other side, all that comes out is what is meant to be pure and clean. Through your trials and your temptations, the heat, the Bunsen burner heating your life, and all the debris, all the nonsense is left behind, and you come out. Or, as the vision was, you are like gold, but there are impurities inside, and it's heated up, and all the scum come to the top, scooped off, scooped off, scooped off, and what is left is the pure. You and I are going to go through stuff. But when you're going through it, understand why you're going through it. You are going through the process of proving that you are a son of the living God. That's why you're going through it. But you're not going to go through it by yourself. He will be with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, you're going through it. But I'm going to be there for you. I will help you. I will protect you. You know, the experience, I've shared many experiences with you through the years. And many times there are times when let me put it this way, not many times. There are times I wondered, Lord, why did you let me go through this? I shared with you about the empty gas tank and no money in my pocket. I said, why did you let me go through that? Why didn't you just give me money already so I can drive my car and not have this problem, financial problem? Why? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, if I didn't take you through that, you will not have known that you can drive your car on empty for a whole week. That I could provide for you supernaturally. When I had no money. Oh, I don't like telling this story, but I wasn't really nice. I remember the day I knelt in front of my couch. We still have that couch recovered in our nursery, you might call that room. I'm kneeling there, and I said to God, I said, you're a bad businessman. You are a terrible, bad businessman. Because all year long, I've been struggling financially, couldn't get paid. We don't have enough money. And it was Christmas coming. And I looked left and right. I said, I don't have any money to buy gifts for my children. And I turned around, I said, it's your fault. It's your fault. That's why I don't have money. You're a bad businessman. And I started blaming other pastors. I started calling pastors' name. I said, look at that pastor over there. You see him? That guy, I don't know what he's preaching, but he drives a Suburban, and he even buys Suburbans for his pastors. Huh? I don't know what he's preaching over there. Look at me. I'm preaching the truth, and I'm broke. You're a bad businessman. What are you? For 1 hour, I was complaining. Oh, God has mercy. If I were God, I would have killed me a long time ago. Just shut up. No, God was merciful. Instead of asking me questions, after 1 hour, I kid you not, I was on my knees. I don't think I stayed on my knees that long, you know, but that day I was on my knees for 1 hour. I was so mad. I forgot that I was on my knees. Oh, man, I was hot. He said, so you're saying that I'm a bad businessman. I said, you heard right. What do you have to say about that? So he began to ask me questions. He said, how many people do you bring to your house every Sunday and you feed them? I said, about 12, 15 people. We just come and we eat together. He said, okay. Where do you get the meat from? Because he asked me, he said, what do you feed them? I said, meat, fish, chicken. Where do you get it from? I said, from the freezer downstairs. Oh, so you go downstairs and you get meat from there and you bring it up to your wife and she cooks it. I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. What does this have to do with anything? So he asked another question. While you were doing that, do you remember going to the grocery store this year to go buy meat or fish or chicken? Oh. But you serve people meat and fish and chicken every Sunday. I said, yeah. But you didn't go to the market to buy. I said, yeah. You say that I'm a bad businessman? I froze now. I say, oh my God, I put my foot in my mouth. See? It turned on me. All year long, God, while I'm taking meat or fish or whatever out of that freezer, God was busy filling it up. I'm taking out, he's filling it up. I take out, and he fills it up. Till this day, I don't have an empty freezer. I think God is still doing the same thing till now, as I'm talking to you. I have a son here who helps me over and over and again emptying my freezer. And after he empties it, I said, I come back. How? This thing is full again. Now I still go and buy, but somehow it's like I bring one and God brings another one. I think it's still happening. I have freezers up here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then I have freezers in the house. 5, 6, 7. In the house also. God is still, he's still making a point. I can provide for you. Don't take on any pressure. I can still provide for you. I can still do it, and I'm still doing it, and will continue to do it. Just trust in me. I will be your present help at the time of trouble. Is somebody hearing me? God is faithful. He is. He is. He will not deny himself. He will not deny himself. I said to somebody not too long ago, I said, God doesn't hate you that much to lie to you. Because if he lies, he becomes less than the father of lies. Do you understand? God loves me, but God loves himself more. Yes, he loves himself so much that he cannot afford not to love me. He doesn't hate. And God is not practicing apathy. I don't care. No, he cares. He cares. And that's why he gave us his word. He says, you know that he was manifested. Jesus came to take away our sins. He came to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. There's no sin in him, but he came to take our sins. He did not put it in himself. He dumped it where it belonged, in the garbage, in hell, in Sheol, Gehenna. That's a garbage place where you burn all your garbage. He took it and he dumped it there, but he grabbed it from me. Says, this does not belong to you. Now, so when we live in sin, we are playing in the garbage, or we are allowing the God of the garbage to come contaminate our lives. It's exactly what is happening. He says, whosoever abideth in him, if you stay in him, not visit, if you stay in him, he says, that person sinneth not. If you stay with God, he says, you don't sin. He says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. You've not beholden him. And we shall be like him. When you behold him, you're getting changed into that same glory. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither known him. If you are living in sin, he says, you've not known me. And the people that know God do exploits. Praise the Lord. This is how firm God is with this. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous compared to what? Even as he is righteous. Huh? No. You can't be as righteous as God. You can't be as holy as God. He says, hey, if you do him holy things, righteous things, you just exactly like me. Wow. Oh, now, I don't think we want to go to the next verse, because the next verse says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Is this in the Bible? He says, if you live in practicing sin, he says, you're of the devil. You, huh? Lord, you can't mean that. This is, you're committing sin, living in sin. He says, you're of the devil. Pastor, I sin every day. You mean I'm of the devil? Hold your horses. You are only of the devil, belonging to the devil, because you've allowed the devil to tattoo you with his name and remote control you. But if you've got the fight in you, you're not of him. I remember one day, a discussion that I had with the Lord. He said to me, he said, remember that guy? The guy who said that his name was Legion? I said, yes. Remember him? I said, yeah. What about him? He said, do you remember that they will put chains on him and he will break it? I said, yes. You remember he was busy cutting himself with stones? I said, yes. He said, do you know why he was doing that? I said, no. Isn't it because he is demon-possessed? He said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? He's demon-possessed, and so he had all this supernatural power, and he will break the chains, and then he will cut himself. He said, no. I said, so what was the reason? I wasn't ready for the answer. He said, every time he got chained and he broke those chains, he was saying, I cannot be under chains. I said, huh? He said, every time he caught himself while he was in the cemetery, he was saying inside of him, just like the hope of the tree, he was saying inside of him, dead people don't bleed. I must be alive. See? I said, no kidding. He said, yes. Yes. He caught himself. He saw blood. Even though in his natural mind, he was under captivity, he had a fight on the inside. And God sees the fight that you have to live right, even when you fall flat on your face, that fight, he looks at it and says, this guy doesn't want to live that way. I count that as part of righteousness for him, and I will help him. I will help him. I will help him make it. When you don't have fight inside of you and you just surrender to the mess and say, I guess I was made that way. Now you have a problem. This is how I was made. God did not make you that way. God never made you that way. God did not make you to live in sin and then come judge you for sinning. It is foreign to you and I. God created us holy unto him. When we got born again of the Spirit of God, we had the capacity established inside of us to live righteously, uprightly, live right. The reason we don't live right is because we've decided to default to what is easy. Just give up and live any which way. It is okay. I'm just human. I'm just a man. I was born and shaped in iniquity and in sin. Yeah, I came to take care of that. I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was bestowed upon me, and by the stripes that I bore, you are healed. I took care of it. I went to the cross to die, not so you can continue in sin. I went to the cross to make sure that mercy is extended to you and that my life comes into you if you accept that, and my grace will work in you and through you and help you to live right. I came to make you righteous. I came to make you holy just like me. I want to make you just like me. You're my child and you can live right. When you and I buy into that truth of God, the fight comes inside and say, that's not me. That's not me. I cannot be like that. And when you fall flat on your face, you get up and say, God, I received mercy. I blew it. That's not me. Help me to do right. Help me to fight back and win. The word of God says a righteous man will fall, but he will rise up again. He'll fall seven times. He'll get up back up. Stop quitting. Well, this anger thing that I have, I guess it's my personality. No, it's not. My personality. It's not. God didn't create you an angry person. But listen to the word of God. It says, be angry and sin not. God didn't say, don't be angry. After all, Jesus waved some whip and went into the temple and whip. Can you imagine? Jesus is in the temple kicking tables down. Say, whoa, who's that angry man? Who's that? Kicking everything up. He said, don't stop pointing your finger at me and say, I'm an angry man. Listen, you guys made the house of God, which is meant to be the house of prayer, the den of thieves. I can't allow that. I'm here about my Father's business, and you guys are coming here and making mess of my Father's house. No way. That's not happening. Not here. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not the child of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. He says, but wait for this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, was unveiled, that he might destroy. Somebody say with me, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin. He came to deal with it. I don't have to have an elbow problem, getting drunk. Well, no, that's not my portion. God didn't create you with a chimney in your head. So when you smoke, you just swoon, you know, the Pope. Black smoke. No, God didn't create it that way. God didn't call you to Benson and Hedges. Do they still make that smoke? Benson and Hedges? Huh? No, the hedge of God protects you from all that nonsense. I can't help myself. I need some Jack Daniel. No. You don't need that spirit. Have you ever thought about it? Booze is called spirit. You need a different spirit. You see, the Spirit of God may make you drunk too. God wants you to be drunk in His Spirit, with His Spirit, not drunk with the Spirit that comes out of that bottle. He wants you to be distilled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I guess there's a kind of distillation that gets you booze too. But God wants you to be distilled in the proper order by His Word. Hallelujah. Let me wrap up by going to this passage of Scripture. It says to us, I think it's in 1 Peter, or 1 Timothy rather, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Talks about in a great house there are many vessels. I might be getting my scripture passage wrong. Somewhere around verse 9 of the passage, Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 9, something like that. Maybe that's where it is. Anyway, in a great house, there are many. Okay, that's not the passage. There are many, find it for me. There are many vessels, some vessels of gold, some of wood, some of clay. And then it says that in that house where this is, it says that those who want to live that pure, holy, glorious life. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:20. Yeah, that's right. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. Do we have a 21 there? Yeah. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It says, flee. That's a decision you and I make. Flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity or love, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of what? A pure heart. I've got to have a pure heart. It says, follow people who are pursuing, who are following righteousness. They're not trying to control you. When it says, follow what is true. Follow what is righteous. Follow that which is of faith. If you see faith happening there, pursue that. If you see love going on there, pursue that. If you see peace going on there, pursue that. Do it. These are the people that call on the Lord. That's the key thing. They are calling on the Lord. They're calling on the Lord. While they may be struggling, they are calling on the Lord. And that's what causes them to flee. They run away from anything that's going to entangle them. They run away from it. They make that decision. I'm not going to be snared by this thing. I'm going to follow. I'm going to hang around people that are making the right decisions. Oh, no. All these holy than thou people, you know. Listen, nobody told you that everybody that is walking towards God is going to do everything right all the time. But you know, at least they are walking in the right direction. He says, follow them. Those people that they fall flat on their face and they get back up and say, no, that's not me. They're not there, you know, entertaining and embracing evil ways. He says, the people that have the fear of God in them, they depart from evil. They've been purged by the presence of mercy and truth from every iniquity, patterns of sin. And they have the fear of God in them and they depart from evil. We sharpen each other. We help each other. We speak into the life of each other and we say yes to the will of God and no to satanic agendas. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hear what the Word of God says. It says in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study the Word of God. Meditate on it. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. You are taking a hold of that word. It says, I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. You're rightly dividing it. In essence, you're rightly applying it in your life. It says, but shun, shut up, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. They will increase unto more ungodliness. When you are embracing profane and vain babblings, I guess it's the culture, it's the way it is, and I'm just human, and, you know, I can't do things right. He says, if you keep on that way, you are going to increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. That's why you must not listen to wicked preachers who are not there to tell you the truth. Shut them off. Let me say that again. Shut them off. I don't care how popular they are. And I don't care how many miracles they say they are dishing out. God, he says, the way is wide. And many go into that way. And it's disaster, destruction. He says, but the way is narrow. And few find it. It's not the multitude. Listen to people that will tell you the truth. They will tell you black is black, white is white. Straight talk. That's who you listen to. You're busy sending your money to people that will not tell you the truth. You are supporting evil. Jesus is going to say to those people, they're going to come and say, we healed the sick in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did that in your name. And he says, get away from me, I don't know you. You workers of unrighteousness. They never tell you that you have the capacity to live right. He says, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These two, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they are just like that. Hymenaeus, Hymenaeus, would you believe it? Hymenaeus means one belonging to a marriage. That's what that name means. Belonging to a marriage. What marriage? The wrong marriage. There's a marriage to Christ, and there's a marriage to satanic agendas. That is Hymenaeus. And he is a practitioner of evil. Philetus. That's an interesting name. Philetus means beloved. So you have one name belonging to marriage, and you have the other name, beloved. Oh, amazing names. But what does the Word of God say about them? Who concerning the truth have erred, saying what? That the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They are evil teachers. What does that mean, that the resurrection is past already? They are basically teaching, listen, the resurrection is past. You're still in this mess. It does not matter. God has accepted you just the way you are, all messed up. He died. Yeah, we don't doubt that. He rose again from the dead. Yes, we accept that. But when he rose again from the dead, you're supposed to have experienced this change in your life. But it didn't happen. Huh? It's past. That means this is where God wants you to be. That makes sense? And that's what preachers who are preaching a false message of grace are extending to people. This is how it's supposed to be. God knows you're just human. You cannot live right. And yes, Jesus paid the price, but this is how you're supposed to be. You are married to the bride. You are the bride of Christ with your dirty clothes, your torn up veil, your mucky wedding gown. That's how you're supposed to be. There is no change. Don't expect any change. It is. He's paid the price. Now you can just come in with whatever clothes. It's a lie from the devil. Say, don't be deceived. God wants you and I to be holy. His holiness is not filth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, shun that. Shut that nonsense up. Stop listening to people that are trying to mess you up. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That resurrection power, it stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You're a Christian, depart from iniquity. Don't embrace it and say, that's how it's supposed to be. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. Jesus came to make sure that we know that he did not just come to die. Listen, child of God, listen. If God meant for it to continue to be this way, he shouldn't have risked sending Jesus. Why did Jesus have to come, go through all they went through so that we can continue in sin? No, 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 no. That doesn't make any sense. No, no, no. He could have just accepted. Listen, it is God who has to accept the covering, accept the sacrifice for sin. If all it took was for forgiveness, all God needed to do is forgiven. He just has to say it. Nobody needs to die for that. But Jesus came to pay the price for sin, so that we can have the life, the capacity, and the ability to live righteously. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil. And I must now start thinking different. I'm supposed to walk in holiness before God. Does it? Spread the word to other people. Tell them to stop fooling around. God has paid the price for our redemption. Amen? Hallelujah. Rise with me. Wow, I didn't know I was speaking that long. Sheesh. Oh, my Lord. Well, it's all good. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have the capacity to live right because your power has been made available. We thank you for mercy, and we thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we can live a powerful, pure life. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven and redeemed. Thank you, Lord, that we've been empowered. And we can make godly decisions. And when we don't, help us to recalibrate and stand back up to run this race and finish it. We thank you, Lord, that this is all possible because your grace is sufficient. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us celebrate the gift of God bestowed upon us. May the strength of God cause us to live fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there anyone here tonight says, you know, Pastor, I received that word and I need to make changes. I want to do it right. I want to live for God. I've been struggling, but I've heard you say to me today that I can do it by His strength working in me and through me. If that's you, you just want me to stand together in prayer and all of us stand together in prayer with you, just raise your hand and I'll certainly pray. Anybody? Hallelujah. Well, I thank God that we've all made that decision to follow Jesus. You know, there's that old song that we used to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord cause you to flourish and blossom in every area. The Lord cause you to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. The Lord grant you supernatural speed and the capacity to live uprightly before Him. The Lord cause you to flourish on every side. The Lord increase your greatness and empower you to rise, taking flight, the wings of eagles, running and not being weary, walking and not fainting. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. In just a moment, I'll come to you. I think I see a face that I've not seen before, or at least not recently. But let me let those that are online on YouTube and Facebook go at this time. And then we will just say a quick hello to those that are on